It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome The Citizen Lobbyist into the studio via phone as we talk about at least two meetings and maybe more things for this week. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Mike. Yeah, I called it. I'm going to deem this you show me yours, I'll show you mine, because you went to the Palmer City Council meeting and I was at the borough at the Joint Assembly Planning Commission meeting. So,
okay.
We'll cover them both.
Okay. Well, I'll do this. I'll do the City of Palmer.
Okay. The
City of Palmer's meeting was fairly interesting. First off, we did another test with our Mevo, and that'll be up, and soon those will be available, and we'll be also next week beginning the videoing of the boards and commissions, making all that available. And particularly for boards and commissions, sometimes people wonder what happens at these meetings. The city council, a little better known, but I think what we're doing is going to make available the process and discussion, and so people will perhaps even be interested in joining one of them, which is always a good thing. But the meeting itself was relatively focused. It was pretty short. I'm going to start by saying that it followed off at 7 o'clock, after a 6 o'clock meeting with an executive session that was focused on the potential litigation that the ACLU was suggesting in regard to an event that had occurred in 2017 at Klondike Mike's involving a couple of police officers and some other people. Suffice it to say that there was no discussion about that. And we expect perhaps in the near future to hear more detail about what actually happened and what's going forward. But during the regular meeting, there was a discussion about the police department. The manager, Nate Wallace, and the chief of police, Lance Ketterling, had done a lot of work at the request of the council to provide a detailed report of the implications should the Palmer Police Force extend its care to the larger, greater Palmer area. And a number of people have asked about that, and I can tell you I was very much impressed. I think the recording that we'll be putting up and also the materials that are available online from the City of Palmer provide a good picture of how complex that could be. As listeners and you and I know, there's been a lot of discussion, particularly at the borough level, about how to improve the availability of police troopers in the greater borough area. And I happened to have had a brief conversation with Mayor Vern Halter about how that is going forward at the borough's level. And he reminded that over the years, as the population has gone up, the population of troopers has gone down significantly. At one point, the reference, I believe, is about 50 troopers. We're now down to somewhere in the lower 30. And in any case, one of the questions, particularly with areas that are near to the cities, especially Wasilla and Palmer, is what about extending police powers, either doing it in what would seem to be the cleanest way, which is to be providing annexation, and then you're just part of the city and things go along. But there was talk, both at the borough level, and there was the question raised at the city council level, well, what about police service areas, or what about if the police department in the City of Palmer were to have a contract with a service area for policing just outside the city? What are the implications? What are the costs? How would that work? How would that go about it? And I think the council was suitably impressed with the discussion, and I'll have to underline now that what happened was what you would expect to happen, is to do some good review and fact-finding before you rush into anything. So there's no immediate action to be taken in that regard where the police department would double in size or whatever. Questions?
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up by what I read. I read the report, kind of went through it kind of quickly last week when it was posted as part of the agenda, and I encourage people to go and read it because I think it. There are a lot of ways to look at that, and they all take money. It's not going to be a for free service, so the borough has to either reimburse, or there has to be state reimbursement, or the people in those areas are going to have to pay, just like they do with road service areas and fire service areas out of the core area. Here in Palmer, we pay a small mill rate that takes care of our police department, the city services. So we don't have RSAs and FSAs that other people do. But it's not going to be up for free, and there's a lot of ways. And a lot of it, to me, Palmer's just one of the players because it kind of depends upon how Wasilla evaluates it, what the borough wants to do, whether they want to invoke police powers and do it themselves, whether the state comes through with more troopers. There's a lot of what-ifs on the table, but bravo to them for getting ahead of the subject, getting a good report out, and I encourage people to go to the City of Palmer website in the meeting packet for last night, and they can read it themselves.
Right. There was another topic that involved policing, and the superintendent of schools from Matsuboro School District was there and spoke briefly to it. And this was a move to have an SRO, an officer placed at primarily Palmer High School with some time at the junior middle school, and be paid for in a shared way. The Matsuboro School District will pay 75% of that officer's time, and the City of Palmer was being asked to pay 25%. And during the year, as we know, in the summer, schools tend to not have students, and so the officer, when he or she is not involved with the schools, would be available as part of the Palmer Police Force. There was a fair amount of discussion, generally positive, asking some questions, and it was approved unanimously. And so that will begin, and it will be modeled very much after what has been going on for a while over in Wasilla. In fact, they use the contract that Wasilla has as the model for what would be done here.
Yeah, so it's pretty common in Anchorage, too.
Right. So that's a step forward and a change. Been under discussion. It's popped up from time to time in the past, but perhaps prompted by events that have occurred nationally. I'm not quite sure, but that was the second big event that that happened. Other than that, there were some other topics, but those were the two big ones. There was a little bit of a discussion about a major revision of a 900-page document that governs guidelines for building primarily roads in Palmer. And that had been done by an external review and audit. And it was safe to say that I do not believe that perhaps any of the council members read every page. But in this case, the summaries that were provided, I think, were sufficient. And it wasn't a case where a council member should sit down and read through every page, because much of the discussion would be technical in nature. And in any case, that also passed unanimously.
So was it, Mike, was it an audit to tell them how their road service is?
No. It was about
how to construction.
It was about the technical guidelines for doing these
things. Construction manual type thing.
Right. Exactly. That you picked it up. Right. So.
Yes. I say that because as part of my meeting last night, it was brought up that the borough hasn't revised theirs since the late 90s, I think, and they're in the process of doing that, too.
Right.
All as part of you know, monitoring the expectations of people who are putting in new subdivisions or wanting to change the road, what the rules of the road are to do that. So good for them to do that.
And I would suspect that the borough situation is even more complicated, in part because of the wide range of different situations. The city of Palmer is a relatively compact entity. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a little bit easier to do. But that's pretty much my summary. So what do you have from a joint meeting of assembly?
The joint meeting had, this is pretty impressive, Mike. The joint meeting had every member of the assembly who had been there since 10 o'clock in the morning, because they had budget presentations, which I have a stack of to share with you. We can talk about later. And apparently those are all online, too. I heard it went really, really well this year. Talked to couple assembly members said it gets better every year, that it's concise, it's easy to understand, and they felt that they had a pretty good understanding of where the departments were coming from. So they've been there since 10 o'clock. They were joined at 6 o'clock in the evening by the entire, other than Aline Patterson, everybody who is the Palmer District, everybody else was there and seated. So they had a very full table up front, and they had a very full agenda. They had a few members of the audience, for sure. Most of them were there to either speak about the air quality report that was at the end of the meeting, or they were there to talk about the proposed road bonds that the borough is talking about crafting to take to the voters in the fall. The road bonds overall got a lot of support. There were couple of engineers that were in favor of road bonds. They said that somebody made the remark that our roads are in the borough are between a toddler and a preteen. We're getting there, but we still need more connectors, and roads bring jobs in engineering and for designs and constructionists, and they're just good for the economy. So that was there. There was one person that said, you know, they're tired of the growth, and they're just why should we build more roads? Because more people will just come. So that's one way to look at it. And there were some people there in support of what the borough's trying to do to work in the community to make people aware of the air quality problems out in the Butte area. It has its naysayers, too. There are a couple of people there that weren't in support of it at all. But by and large, it was a few people more that said, yes, we think that we support air quality, and we think this is a light-handed approach that the borough is taking to avoid going to even a bigger problem if we don't listen to the science and get the air problem areas controlled. So that was just kind of the beginning of what little bit of conversation there was. They had one piece that you and I heard about a little bit, Mike, to introduce for public hearing, and actually got a lot of play. It has to do with the timber sale that's coming up. And they introduced it at this meeting so they can actually have the second hearing next week and vote on it. And it got a little bit of pushback, mostly from, the supporters are Mr. Kowalki and Mr. Mayfield. That, of course, the timber harvest that they're talking about, and it's kind of a complicated issue I'm not going to go into now, but it takes place all in Mr. Kowalki's area, and of course the port is in Mr. Mayfield's area, so they're very supportive of something happening, and that the timber harvest happened, and that this five-year lease happened to these this company out of New Zealand to make some cash for the port. And there wasn't really a pushback from the assembly as far as it wasn't a good idea. It was mostly, we need a little slower process. Mr. Sykes tried to punt it down the road to the meeting after this one, but he compromised in having a work session starting at 4 o'clock before the next assembly meeting, which is a joint school board assembly meeting, to answer questions. And a lot of the confusion seemed to circle around the fact that the attorney hadn't quite signed off on it. The attorney's been pretty busy, as you know. He argued in front of the Supreme Court on a case this week for the borough, and he's had LNG meetings, so he had not totally read the whole contract. He was kind of non-committal, but he hasn't signed off on it. And that made a few other people, Dr. Doty, and Mr. Beck and a few people a little bit concerned, and they thought there should be more conversation on it. Dr. Doty said, you know, I don't want another ferry situation because we rush into something. So they're going to have a social session 2 hours before the normal meeting or a work session. They're hoping to invite the people that are the principals for this to come in and have their questions answered, and that the attorney has a little more time to field their questions before. So that took a little time. Got an update from the plotting board. Nothing really big to report there. They're sort of reorganized earlier now. They're sort of very excited to be in the positions they are. They want to support the planning department's efforts. So there's a resolution on that. There was an update by former Assemblywoman Cindy Bettini regarding the Transportation Advisory Board that also has been reformulated in the last few months, and she is the chair. Mr. Mayor Halter asked her to come in and give a bit of an update, and she talked just about trying to make the planning department and the capital improvements, capital projects work a little better together. They haven't endorsed the transportation board the proposed road bonds, but they're taking a look at them. They feel like they need a little more information before they can talk about road bonds, which we'll talk about here in a bit. A little bit of information for her that she went into, and it was good. They've asked her to come back in all of the joint meetings and to report on the transportation advisory board. So that was pretty good. Then they had a presentation from the planning department on the transportation fair, which happens in the fall, in regards to a road survey project results that they had, and they had had quite a good response to not only the surveys that they had there at a very well-attended yearly event of the transportation fair, but also the online. They had about 1,000 returns rating what the importance of roads in their communities were, what they wanted to see done first by priority. And it shouldn't surprise anybody that the two big ones were KGB, fixing all the problems on KGB, and Seward Meridian, finishing that extension. Those are both state projects, so it's good that everybody's got their eye on that, but that is going to be state money that takes care of those things. But they just gave a report on what rose to the surface as being important. Edland Road is another one that's quite important to people. Finishing the Beverly Lakes Road area, that's important. So all of that, again, is on the borough website for people to look at. But it was good for the assembly to hear it, to hear the methodology of how they got it, how they got the return from people, and have some good interchange with their planning department. Then they did have an update on the borough bond project.
Right.
It really is just the beginning of the discussion there. They have a new methodology. They think a little better than it's been in the past. I think it's fair to say, my word's not theirs, that these bonds turn out to be more of a political thing than they do of what really makes sense for a borough. You kind of have to have something in everybody's little corner before we can get a whole borough on board. But they did a pretty good job, saying, again, the population in 1999 was 35,000. Now we have what's expected to be about 106,000 people. And we have to finish our infrastructure. And one way to do it, with the state retracting, is to do bonds that the residents of the borough can support. And so that was kind of their presentation on the criteria that they're using, how they adopted it, how they evaluated it, how they developed their cost estimates, and then they had a projected list somewhere around $50 to $83 million in priority. And a lot of what they're looking at is, what are our right-of-way problems here, and what it's going to be, all those things taken in consideration before they come up with a list. And they've just come up with a list they're asking for now that is kind of back in the court of the assembly. Mr. Mayfield wasn't excited about the list. I think he didn't think there was much in his area that should be. So they'll be struggling with this for a while. But they are on on a timeline here because they must get it, I think, all ironed out by the first part of August if they want it on the ballot.
Okay. All right. So a lot of road stuff. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there, and then they had a really short presentation on the multifamily development code update that they're going to be giving, working on. It was very short and sweet. Nothing too big, kind of reining in all. Some of those problems that were identified when they redid Title 17 into Title 47 and some of those reorganization things. Then they had kind of an interesting conversation. I'm not going to go into it too much here, Mike, because I want to get some information back from the attorney. But good presentation by the attorney about the difference between a first-class borough and a second-class borough that Assemblywoman Doty had asked for. Really interesting little historical fact that the state constitution in 1959 provided for a local government, and there was in 1963 there was a mandatory borough act that was on the ballot, and you know, in 1964 Kenai, Fairbanks, all the boroughs were established, and there's really no difference in a second. We are a second class borough, but there's really no difference if you have a manager, mayor, or there's just a difference in basically your powers. And so he went on to talk about that a lot, and the difference on first-class boroughs as opposed to second-class boroughs. So we'll get on that into that a little bit. I would encourage us, actually, to have the attorney in and have him explain it, because it is a little complex.
Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I look forward to that.
And the last thing was the air quality briefing. Nothing extremely important to report there. They're still working on it. It's something we have to get under control. We're not out of compliance yet. We're doing okay. Thankfully, we had a very warm fall winter at the beginning, and so we haven't been out of compliance so much at all. So that was kind of it, Mike, but it was definitely worth being there. I got out of there, and we adjourned at 9:03 p.m.
Okay. Well, good work being done in all these bodies. Citizen yeah. Lobbyists, we'll be looking forward to more that'll be coming up next week. Of course, we start again with a regular assembly and school board meeting, and go from there. So
I will be in Juneau next week, but I'll see if I can call in, or we'll figure it out, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.